I have a special message today. It's called Identity Crisis. I'm going to begin just by reading our scripture, and then I'll give you a little overview of why I feel called to share this message this morning. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. It says this, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word that you have planted well within my heart, O God. I thank you, Lord, for the time spent in wrestling with this and the best way to present it, O God. I pray, God, that you're with me, that you hide me behind the cross, O God, and that your truth would be revealed today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this past week, it was probably impossible to avoid seeing or hearing about Caitlyn Jenner. Between the pictures and the images on Vanity Fair, TV interviews on ABC and many others, and Facebook, oh my Lord, Facebook. So many opinions, both good and bad. Everybody has an opinion, amen? And even though we've been in the middle of this sermon series, and I understand I'm going to tie it in as best I can to the early church in the book of Acts, but I thought it was important to address this as your pastor, as a shepherd of this church, and share my heart. Because what I read broke my heart in so many ways. And it was impossible for me to ignore this thing, right? Sometimes we like to be an ostrich and put our heads in the sand and say, if we just don't talk about it, if we don't address it, if we don't deal with it, somehow it's just going to kind of go away. But I thought it would be healthier to address it. So you'll hear my heart. You'll hear what I believe that God, what God has to say about our own identities. And then I just pray that God speak to your own heart at the end. I thought it was important, you know, we're dealing with a person that obviously has been struggling with his identity as a man and believing that he should be a woman. But oftentimes I think we struggle, our own identities, we struggle. And it's not that kind of public struggle that he or she, Caitlin's been dealing with, but that we deal with as our identities in Christ. So I wanted to ask us, you know, pose the question to you, how do we determine our identity? Is it how we feel? Is it what others say about us? Or is there an overarching determining factor that says who we are? Oftentimes, I had heard it said before, the phrase that I got from Pastor Brian Tomes was, keep your eyes on your own walk. And I've tried to hold fast to that more often than not. Too often we're too busy looking at everybody else's faith walk and what it looks like and what we think it should look like, and we have all our opinions about what everybody's journey is supposed to look like, instead of just kind of focusing on what ours looks like and dealing with what God is telling us. We have enough to work with in and amongst ourselves. We don't need to be trying to fix everybody else. So I believe that we struggle as humans in trying to determine our identity mistakenly, okay? This is the mistaken identity in our identity crisis. Oftentimes, we determine our identity by past experience. And the only way that I can say that, sometimes our past experience is unhealthy. And somehow the mirror that we're presented with, the mirror that we look into has been cracked, it's been damaged, and the image of God that we were born with has been damaged. Sometimes we suffer abuse. Sometimes we have uncaring parents that don't say the right things. And oftentimes that turns into a form of self-loathing. I myself have dealt with abuse in the past. I also lived in a family environment that was not healthy. And so my own opinion of myself was very, very poor. Growing up, my self-esteem was very low. And so I had created an image that was broken. And even though I had come to faith in Christ at the age of 25, like a true saving faith in Christ, that broken image still existed. Even though God's word told me so many other things, all the things that I had created and built up over time still existed. I remember Tom had asked me to marry him, and and before we were married, he said to me, "But you need to deal with your stuff before we do." And I thank him for that. At that point in time, I can understand what self-loathing feels like, right? We talked about that this morning. Sometimes the pain is so deep, I wanted to hurt myself. I remember sitting at the kitchen table, just having breakfast and being so angry with myself that I tried to choke myself with my food. That's not right. That's not what God has for us. And I realized that Tom was right. I desperately needed help. But it doesn't mean that God had made a mistake with me. I was saved, but I was still wounded. I had made the frustrating, tragic mistake of trying to find the kingdom of God, which I had heard about, right? I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Righteousness, peace, the joy that comes. I tried to find it in things and other people. And I didn't truly realize or fully understand that the kingdom of God is within us. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 1:27, "The mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ is in you, so therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory." It's that simple. So my joy, my identity, our joy, our identity has to be found in Christ alone. And I want to give you a couple of scriptures to support that. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." And the question is, are we okay in our own skin? Too often we are just not okay in our own skin. Depending on what has gone on in our lives, we look in the mirror and we somehow see that something's wrong. And God doesn't see us that way. We are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, perfect in every way, the way he created you. And what about our past? The things that we've done, the things that have happened to us? Galatians 2:20 says this: "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." No matter what we've done, no matter what has happened to us, we are created new, right? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So what about what other people say? How about how other people see us? No, oftentimes our identity is created by what other people say. They'll tell us, "Oh, you seem like you're very outgoing. You seem like you're very joyful. You seem like you don't have your act together. You seem like you're struggling." And sometimes the words that people say start to help us interpret exactly what our identity is. Oftentimes what people say about us is based on what? The truth? Or what they see on the outside? Maybe it's based on our outward appearance, where we live. How about what we do for work? How often times do we define ourselves by what we do? Right? Who are you? "I'm a tax preparer." No. It's what you do for work. Who you are is what God has made you to be. We define ourselves by our jobs, thinking that that's what gives us value. I wanted you to compare that to what God's word has to say. 2 Corinthians 1:22, "And he has identified us as his own." How? by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. It's what God says about us. Not what we do, not what people say. What about achievements, right? The awards that we win, the sports accolades that we might have received, accolades from people, the cheering of the crowd means nothing. Only what God has to say. And I'm going to say the worst of all, the worst basis that we can base our identity on is our feelings. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. Speaking of this earthly house, that's what Paul is saying. If it's destroyed, we have one better, an eternal dwelling prepared for us. Who knows that feelings are fickle? I think we said this last week, your feelings are fickle. We cannot determine who we are and our identities by our feelings. They come and they go. But the word of God is constant and secure. And so what does God's word say about us? So outside of those things, I just want to share, I have a list. You ready to hold on? This is what God's word says about us, okay? In Jesus Christ. Now it says I, so I'm going to say I am, but it's you are, and I hope you're hearing it, that I am in your own mind, okay? I am faithful, Ephesians 1:1. I am God's child, John 1:12. I have been justified, Romans 5:1. I am Christ's friend, John 15:15. I belong to God, 1 Corinthians 6:20. I am a member of Christ's body, 1 Corinthians 12:27. I am assured all things work together for the good, Romans 8:28. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God, 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22. I am confident that God will perfect the work he began in me, Philippians 1:6. I am a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. I am hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me, 1 John 5:18. I am blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3. I am chosen before the creation of the world, Ephesians 1:4 and 11. I am holy and blameless, Ephesians 1:4. I am adopted as his child, Ephesians 1:5. I am given God's glorious grace lavishly and without restriction, Ephesians 1, 5, and 8. I am in him, Ephesians 1, 7. I have redemption, Ephesians 1, 8. I am forgiven, Ephesians 1, 8, and Colossians 1, 14. I have purpose, Ephesians 1, 9, and 3, 11. I have hope, Ephesians 1, 12. I am included, Ephesians 1, 13. I am sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1, 13. I am a saint, Ephesians 1:18, I am the salt and the light of the earth, Matthew 5. I have been chosen and God desires me to bear fruit, John 15. I am a personal witness of Jesus Christ, Acts 1:8. I am God's co-worker, 2 Corinthians 6:1. I am a minister of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am alive with Christ, Ephesians 2:5. I am raised up with Christ, Ephesians 2:6. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 2:6. I have been shown the incomparable riches of God's grace, Ephesians 2:7. God has expressed his kindness to me, Ephesians 2:7. I am God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. I have been brought near to God through Christ's blood, Ephesians 2:13. I have peace, Ephesians 2:14. I have access to the Father, Ephesians 2:19. I am secure, Ephesians 2:20. I am a holy temple, 1 Corinthians 6. I am a dwelling, I'm only halfway done. I'm a dwelling for the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:22. I share in the promise of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 3:6. God's power works through me, Ephesians 3:7. I can approach God with freedom and confidence, Ephesians 3:12. I know there is a purpose for my sufferings, Ephesians 3:13, I can grasp how wide, long, high, and deep Christ's love is for me. Ephesians 3:18, I am completed by God. Ephesians 3:19, I can bring glory to God. Ephesians 3:21, I have been called. Ephesians 4, I can be humble, gentle, patient, and lovingly tolerant of others. Ephesians 4:2. I can mature spiritually, Ephesians 4:15. I can be certain of God's truths and the lifestyle which he has called me to, Ephesians 4:17. I can have a new attitude and a new lifestyle, Ephesians 4:21. I can be kind and compassionate to others, Ephesians 4:32. I can forgive others, 4:32. I am a light to others and can exhibit goodness, righteousness, and truth, Ephesians 5:8 through 9. I can understand what God's will is, Ephesians 5:17. I can give thanks for everything, Ephesians 5:20. I don't always have to have my own agenda, Ephesians 5:21. I can honor God through marriage, Ephesians 5:22 through 33. I can parent my children with compassion and composure, Ephesians 6:4. I can be strong, Ephesians 6:10. I have God's power, Ephesians 6:10. I can stand firm in the day of evil, Ephesians 6:13. I am dead to sin, Romans 1:12. I am not alone. Hebrews 13:5, I am growing, Colossians 2:7, I am his disciple, John 13:15, I am prayed for by Jesus Christ, John 17, I am united with other believers, John 17:20 through 23, I am not in want, Philippians 4:19, I possess the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, I am promised eternal life, hallelujah, John 6:47, I am promised a full life, John 10:10, I am victorious, 1 John 5:4. My heart and my mind is protected with God's peace, Philippians 4:7. I am chosen and dearly loved, Colossians 3:12. I am blameless, 1 Corinthians. I am set free, Romans 8:2. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I am a light in the world, Matthew 5:14. I am more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. I am the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am safe, 1 John 5:18, I am part of God's kingdom, Revelation 1:6, I am healed from sin, 1 Peter 2:24, I am no longer condemned, Romans 8:1 and 2, I am not helpless, Philippians 4:13, I am overcoming, 1 John 4:4, I am persevering, Philippians 3:14, I am protected, John 10, I am born again, 1 Peter 1, I am a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am delivered, Colossians 1:13. I am redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. I am qualified to share in his inheritance, Colossians 1:12. And I am victorious, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. That is what God says about us. Amen? Whenever you want to try to define yourself by anything that is not of God, you have to look to God's word. All of those promises are for those who believe. Every last one, that is the truth of who you are. Nothing of what the world says or what we try to interpret the world is telling us is who we are. That is not our identity. We have a mistaken identity. If we decide to take on what the world says or what our broken nature might say about ourselves, we have to turn to the Word of God. And so, like I said, those promises are for those who believe. That's the critical part. To be born into the family of God, the songs that we chose this morning spoke all about that we not to have fear. Why? Because we have Christ. But that's the first part. And so now I just want to tie all that in, okay? What does it have to do with anything of what we've been hearing this week? And this is going to come down to where my heart is. If you've ever had a conversation with me about anything is when it comes to homosexuality or transgender issues or anything, you're going to know my heart. And that is to say, I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. But I know that I am called to love, first and foremost. So we are not to judge, especially those that are outside the family of God. First, we're called not to judge anyway. But we the amount of things that I've heard about, yeah, but we're supposed to call sin, sin, blah, blah, blah. I guess, but only within the family of God. We're not supposed to look to people that are not even Christ followers and start expecting them to be able to follow after what Christ tells us. It's impossible. According to the first scripture that we read this morning, right? It's those that are in Christ who are heirs of the promises, all those things that I listed out. But it is God that determines the heart. God determines the heart. We don't. Our outward appearance has nothing to do with our relationship with God. Nothing. So I believe this brings us to Caitlyn Jenner. Can any of us, anyone gathered here and anyone that might be listening to this, can any of us claim to know the inner depths of her heart? Any one of us? Or do we judge the outer person? And I think the answer, sadly, is yes. We as humans judge the outer person. We look on the outside and we think we know. But that's not our job. God is the one that looks at the heart. You know, there are people that walk around and look like they have their act together all the time. They might say the right things. They might smell the right way. They profess that they follow Christ. But you know what? Their hearts might be black. Jesus even spoke to that. So he said, you look like whitewashed tombs. But what's inside is dead and rotting and horrible. They had everything together, but God could see the inside. I want to ask you this. Has anyone here ever been judged by your outward appearance? Has anyone here ever been defined by the mistakes that you've made? How about the things that appear to be? Right? We're judged by when people make assumptions about what our lives look like and what they think they are. If God is truth, then God knows the truth of who we are. Appearances are deceiving, but God knows the truth. The other part of this is that we make mistakes, right? We know that we fail. We know that we trip up. We know that we sin, right? But does God make mistakes? I want to read to you Psalm 139. This is verse 13 through 16 out of the Message. So it'll sound a little different. It says, oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something, like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you, the days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. So do you think that God makes mistakes? I believe the answer is no. And I don't, like I said, I don't profess to have all the answers when it comes to transgender issues, but I do know this. That we are called to love. Jesus told us that the world would know us by our love, not our vitriol, not our judgmental attitudes, not our hatred, and not our unwillingness to see the sin in our own lives, but by our love. I think the video that Cameron shared this morning was a perfect complement to this, because what we're seeing and what we read, the stuff that breaks my heart, is not like Christ. We don't have the answers. When any one of us stands up and says that we have all the answers and that we know what's right, that we know truth, we're standing in the place of God. And we cannot do that. Only God is God, amen? God is the one that knows the truth and knows the hearts. So I want you to listen to Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Says this, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Sorry. God, it just broke my heart this week. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Do you understand that verse 40 takes care of the rest? All the law and the prophets hang on what he just said. And so when we start pulling out things in scripture and certain lines and go, you're sinning, you're going to hell, you're going back into the prophets and the law and pulling out all these rules and regulations, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, and that all the law and the prophets hang on that. If we don't have love, what is the meaning of the rest of it? Ultimately, freedom comes. The freedom that we all enjoy and we want others to enjoy, it comes when we release all of this to God and let him sort it out. We're here to walk with, to come alongside, to pray for, and encourage those that earnestly seek him, no matter what they look like, no matter where they're coming from, no matter the choices that they make. We are called to love, first and foremost. The reason why this week has been so hard for me to read, I've read everything, as difficult as it's been, everything that I've seen, is because my heart is to create a place that's safe for people to come and explore what it means to follow God. And I would hope that if you're gathered here, you are part of a community that wants to help people find God. And that as they come in the doors, as I believe they will in faith, you know, I said to Tom this week, I said, either this message is going to help the church or it's going to kill it. Because I know that I do not fall in line with some of my evangelical brethren, okay? I don't. But I have to do what God has told me to do, and that is to preach the truth of the gospel as I understand it. And nowhere in it do I see Jesus coming against those that need him so desperately, but only to lift them up by the hand and love on them and help them to see God. And that's what I believe we're called to do. And so I hope you hear my heart. And then I hope if you have any questions, you're willing to come and ask. And let's have a discourse, especially if you disagree with me. But let's just reason this out, right? Sisters and brothers in Christ, we're told to reason things out. But this is my heart. I want a safe place. That's why it's sanctuary. A safe place. The world is a harsh place, a difficult place. And the church can be a hard place, a difficult place. But it shouldn't be. Amen? It should be the best place for people to come and find hope and love and security in Christ. So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are truly with us this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that you've given us this week to be able to understand what it means to truly love others. And to find our own identity in Christ, because that's where the true security is. Not in what we feel, not in what we think, not in what others say, but in what you say about us and what our identity is in you. And so, God, I'm just thankful, Lord, that you can be with us, that you can help guide us. Help us have the heart and the mind of Christ, truly. To be like Christ in all situations, God, to extend the hand of love and peace, to show people hope. I pray, God, that you just cover this time and protect our hearts. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.